Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 1, and find verse 5, it's towards the top, it's four verses in. New Living Translation. Luke 1, verse 5, no notes for you tonight, but I pray you take them even upon your heart. When Herod was king over Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from her priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. They were what? Righteous in God's eyes. Careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Everybody say very old. Very old. One day Zechariah was serving in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. And while incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Verse 13, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks." He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He'll prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years." And the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you'll be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled in their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why it was taking so long. When he finally came out, he couldn't speak to them, and they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind is the Lord," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my reproach," the NIV says, a New Living Translation says, "taken away my disgrace of having no children." Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have preached from this text dozens of times, and first heard it preached by Dr. Morocco in 2005 in a series on the book of Luke, which I do believe we have as part of our curriculum for our life groups, our small groups. If you're not a part of a life group or a small group, I'd encourage you to be a part of those in the new year, because the best way to be discipled, the best way to mature, the best way to grow big and strong in the plan and the will of God is in a life group. You can't substitute church. So there's some that would say that small groups and life groups are going to be the way the church is in the future. I don't believe that. There'll always be gatherings like this. That's why we built this building. But I also know that you cannot substitute meeting like this in a large crowd for what takes place in a life group. In life groups, you can ask questions. In life groups, you can even... You can't raise your hand here and ask a question. That's not the structure that we have. In life groups, you can. You can discuss things. When I was in a life group before I was a leader, I argued with the life group. I would suggest you don't argue with them, but, you know, I needed to work things out. Life groups are the greatest place I know to work things out. And this text is so profound, and it's profound in many ways, and so I'm going to share some of the things that I originally heard in 2005, and then I've preached to you, and many of you have heard it before as well, if you've been a part of this church for any length of time, or perhaps you've gone through that curriculum in the book of Luke. But my eyes are open to something new here that I've stumbled upon in my own life, but that which I see in the lives of so many others. Let's look at this dark time in history. Rome is ruling. There's no prophet for 400 years. God had been basically quiet. The Messiah's just about on the scene. Gabriel comes and brings about fulfillment of the book of Malachi, that the one with the spirit of Elijah would come. It would be John the Baptist. You'd be great in the eyes of God. As I was reading that, I couldn't help reflect that he wore a loincloth, ate locusts and honey, and was in the wilderness. Some people think great is having fine clothes and having lots of money. That is not necessarily great in the eyes of God. Great in the eyes of God. He was great in the eyes of God. Loincloth, eating locusts and honey, and was in the wilderness. So great in the eyes of God is not necessarily great in the eyes of man. In fact, I would say man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And it's into this dark time in history that the Messiah comes, and the forerunner of the Messiah is John the Baptist. And this is the story of John the Baptist told in relationship to this great event, the Messiah coming. And John the Baptist was a bridge between the Old and the New Testament. Some said he's the last Old Testament prophet. He might very well be the last Old Testament prophet and the first New Testament prophet. John the Baptist, as I said, would prepare the way for the Messiah. In verse 6, if you'll look at the text with me, Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, New Living Translation, says Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. He really is a great man. He's over 60 years old. I think we can safely say that. He's over 60. The text says he's very old. I don't think 60 is old at all. He's a priest. Verse 7, they had no children. And you have to understand what the text is saying here. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children. So it's unusual, because the blessing of God is manifested clearly in the eyes of the people. That's why she says, my reproach, my disgrace is lifted, the final verse. The blessing of God is manifested in the lives of married people through children. And so for it to say that they were righteous, they were blameless, the NIV, the righteous, blameless, they in all the commandments, they were perfect. And they had no children is like, how's that even possible? To have no children would be considered cursed. We see things differently today. But children are a blessing from the Lord. Can you say amen? Zechariah was enjoying his greatest honor to burn incense. And there's about 50 priests in the course of their duty, and they would cast lots about who would burn incense. It is said that to burn incense, after someone would do it, they would burn incense. When a priest would burn incense, he was considered wealthy from that day. And it's something that you might get selected in the course of your lifetime to do once. So when you were selected, it was like, it was a major, major event. He wasn't a high priest, he was a priest. And he burned incense, and it was the greatest honor of his life. There's no way for us to really understand it. It's kind of like, you know, maybe you're at a cafe and you see some baller and he's got like a Super Bowl ring on, and you're like, bro, that's the baller. He was in the Super Bowl. And you look and you're like, whoa, he was a dude. He was in a Super Bowl. That's what was like that. He was in the Super Bowl of the temple. He burned incense. It's like a big, big deal. We don't really understand that. And this angel appears to give him good news, and Zechariah doesn't believe the angel, which is astonishing. Why not? And we've taught you before that most likely the reason is that he lost hope. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I was talking to Minister Lori. She heads up the bridge. That's our counseling department. And we were talking about this just before service. And she sent me this text about some research, modern researchers. I'm going to read it to you. It says, modern research suggests that trauma of our ancestors' experience doesn't affect them alone. Studies indicate that trauma can be passed down to future generations through genetics. With each new study, they're learning more and more about human genetics, the power of our environment, and the effects of trauma. And what I've seen is that when someone goes through a deep disappointment, they go through a deep hurt or a rejection or trauma, that it marks them in such a way that if they're not able to process that, it builds a fortress in their heart. It builds a stronghold. So when you see those in the black community that came down from generations of being a part of slavery, there are things that need to be healed. I could use examples in my own life. I just feel led not to. But I've had a very real one just happened recently where the Lord put his finger on something. I thought, that's from before I was saved. Now, I thought that was healed, and it was, but I got triggered. And I got prayed for and was released, and I thought, how has that been affecting my faith? Has that been affecting me? Is there a place, carefully watch this, is there a place of unbelief that may be cultivated in my life because I had a stronghold of pain or disappointment? Now, before you're looking at me, look at you. And I think about our Slavic brothers and sisters, the damage that Stalin did. We talk about the Jews and how 6 million Jews were killed. There's millions of Christians killed at the same time. They do not know how many Slavic people were killed by Stalin. 22 million by one estimation. Somebody else said 26. Do you understand that? You might say yes. You might have the knowledge of that. But we do not understand what that did to the hearts of Slavic people that can be, don't pigeonhole people and say, well, you're Slavic, so then you've got issues from Stalin. But you should take a look at it if you have Slavic blood, if you have Jewish blood, black, Caucasian, so on and so forth. You don't want to get all weird about it. Come on, somebody say, stop being weird. But you also want to be Akamai, as they say in Hawaii. You want to have an awareness of when you're triggered. I touched on this last Sunday night. You want to have an awareness that when something happens, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and say, that's from when your wife left you. That's from when you were abandoned. That's from when your father didn't accept you. Allow him to speak to you. Listen, the meat of the word, somebody said, I can't go to church there no more. They just served the milk. Some of you are still on milk, and you should be. Milk is good. Does a body good. The meat of the word is that which, when it's preached, it hits you in such a way that you then begin to say, ooh, something's in me that I need changed. And then you change. You don't get offended. This message could be very offensive. Zechariah could not believe because God didn't bring the breakthrough for him. He's righteous. He's blameless, NIV. He lives above reproach. He's done everything right. He comes from a priestly family. He should believe. He's a priest. There's pastors that should believe, but they don't. Believers should believe, but many don't. Well, they believe a section of it, but not this section. God can save me, heal me, but he can't provide for me. I'm not taking that. That's a prosperity gospel. I'm going to stay over here. And there is abuses. I'm not saying there isn't. There is. Most of the church, and I might be a little aggressive, let me say many. That's more gracious. I'm growing up. I'm almost 60. I'm not very old. Many people in the church are unbelieving believers. So they believe to the degree of where it's comfortable for them to believe. But when it comes to a place of real stronghold, go ahead and go there. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. If you're able to put that on the screen, that would help me a whole lot. 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 1 through 6. So what I'm seeing, I see here in Scripture, and I see it in other places as well, where God's trying to bring a breakthrough, but somebody can't believe him because there is a broken place in them through a deferred hope, rejection, pain, trauma. And that pain and that trauma creates a stronghold, creates a mindset that's impregnated with hopelessness that's contrary to truth. And if you were to look, the Apostle Paul, will read this in a moment. I now, Paul, appeal with you, the gentleness and the kindness of Christ, or you realize, you think, I'm a timid person and bold only when I write from far away. Verse 2. Well, I'm begging you now so that when I come, I'll not have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. I hate to see that. Can you imagine seeing the Apostle Paul just coming angry and bold? Wow. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. I want you to say that. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. Leave it up. There is a battle on for your faith. There's clearly a battle on for your faith. And the battle rages. And the Apostle Paul, talking here about the battle, begins to release revelation, which we've preached on many times before, but it is paramount to walking in victory to understand what I'm about to teach you right now. Verse 4. We use God's mighty weapons. What kind of weapons? Who owns them? God. God's mighty weapons. Not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Verse 5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Take your time. Go to the NIV, please. As long as it takes, I need the NIV up there. New Living Translation does a nice job, but not nearly like the NIV does it. It is truly profound. We demolish arguments. Now, here's the thing. You can demolish an argument that somebody else has. What most people don't do is demolish the argument that they have. Some of you have arguments in your thinking. Well, that can't happen because whatever excuse you want to make. And you have a high thing. You have a high, that can't happen. I'm Slavic. That can't happen. I'm a woman. That can't happen. I'm a man. That can't happen. I don't have any money. You can't build that. That's impossible. How can I have a child? I'm old. My wife is old, Gabe. Can you imagine the audacity to mouth off to an angel? That's how, what a, he had such a stronghold that I actually think he was angry. I think he's like, how do I know that's going to happen? Can you imagine mouthing off to an angel? Yeah, that's a serious stronghold. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Just leave it there. Zechariah had a stronghold because in his mind and logically and biblically, the blessing of God should have come for him to have a child. And the key to that is right there where the angel says, your prayer has been heard. We read that in the New Living Translation. But the NIV says it the same way. But in the original language, it says the prayer you used to pray. That's a key. What do you mean the prayer you used to pray? In other words, the prayer you used to pray has been answered or heard. Your wife will be pregnant. What's the prayer you used to pray? Lord, give us a child. The prayer you used to pray is in the original language. Reread it. Your prayer has been heard, but it's a prayer that was heard when he used to pray it, but he don't pray it anymore because in his mind, he's too old. It's impossible. There's all kinds of arguments against the fact that God was going to give him a child because he's too old now and it's impossible. And that's why he can't believe. Some of you have issues of unbelief because you're wounded. Because you've gone through trauma. You've gone through difficulty. Maybe your parents did. I'm preaching better than your amen. Some of you, this is a review. Others of you, it's revelation. And it is revelation. I find most people don't walk to the degree of power and authority and faith because in them is a broken place where they were wounded, where they were rejected, where they were like Thomas in John 14, where Thomas said, let us go that we may die with you. And yet the Messiah, Jesus, his hero, didn't come and kick out Rome. And he said then later, I will not believe unless I stick my hands in my hands in his side and I feel his wounds. I don't believe. What happened to faith-filled Thomas? He was wounded, man. He got wounded by a disappointment that Jesus was going to come and kick Rome out and be the ruling, reigning Messiah. He didn't understand Isaiah 53. He didn't understand that Jesus would have to be crucified. He didn't understand that. And he got to a place of, let us go that we may die with you, to a place of, I don't even believe. How is that? So ask yourself this question. Is there a place on the inside of you where you have unbelief? Do you have a high thing, a lofty place, a high thought? In other words, a thought that is contrary to truth. Now, it's hard to know if you have a thought that's contrary to truth if you don't know truth. That's why it's important to get in the Word. You get in the Word and you realize, ooh, that doesn't line up with the way I believe. Well, guess who's wrong? It's not the Word. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. You ugly thing. It's you. Repentance means to think again. Repent. Change the way you think. And if you come to a place of unbelief, you come to a place where you're stuck, you come to a place of warfare, and you realize, well, how come the blessing of God is not coming this way? And then you make a rationale, you reason why that is, then you're reasoning away, guillotining your faith, and cutting off the miracle power of God from being put on display. And I don't know why the angel said, you know something? Get out of here, you punk. Give me the next incense burner. You're out. I don't know, he didn't do that. You know, God can pick somebody else. Faith always receives doubt and unbelief gets nothing. Gosh, you're kind of intense tonight, Pastor Daniel. Yes, I am. Why? Because some of you have bastions, some of you have strongholds, some of you have a castle impregnated with hope, and you hold on to that and you caress it and you protect it, and you're like, oh no, I can't. That's impossible. That doesn't happen. And that could very well be passed down from generations ago. If you talk to a survivor, loosed, hallelujah. Listen, that's how that is. You feel like trying to get your arm out of something, you feel trapped. You need to, in the name of Jesus, just pull that thing out. We're going to be doing that here in just a little bit. We're going to go to 10 o'clock tonight. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh. Zacharias should have believed because he was a priest. We should believe because we're believers, but many times we don't. Allow God's word to fillet you. Open, listen, God wants you to win. Brings you to hear messages like this. They say, now, I started talking about Jews, but we could use other cultures as well, but you talk to a survivor of the Holocaust. We had a man come, his name is Peter Loth. Some of you remember him. Do you remember him? He came, he was in the, he was in Auschwitz when he was a little boy. And his whole family was killed. And, you know, he was tattooed, number, all that. He was born there. He was born in Auschwitz. And he was able to survive. I don't know, he got out when he was 5 or something like that, but he remembers it. I remember asking him, we were talking about guns. He was here in Alaska. He did an event for us. It was powerful. We were talking about guns. I said, do you have a gun? He says, every Jew should have a gun. He says, of course, I have many guns, and you can never take them from me ever again. You'll see in the families of Holocaust survivors that their children and their children's children have similar patterning of fear until it gets healed. Until it gets healed. So you think about those on October 7th who went through that incredible trauma. They need a healing. But let's just not make it out there. Think about you. What have you been through? When did your daddy leave home and abandon you? What was that like? So, well, my daddy didn't. I had a great father. Awesome. I'm using that as an illustration to say, what is it? I think about our native population here, and I'm drawn to think about how children were taken from their homes. Well, Teresa, you were taken from your home, right? They took you from your mom and dad. They took your brothers and sisters, and they put you in a school, breaking your mom's heart, breaking your father's heart, and shattering Native culture, destroying Native culture to teach you. They wiped out the language. It was wicked. It was evil. It was not God. The trauma of that created alcoholism and despair in the hearts of Native men and women across the state of Alaska. That trauma has to be healed, and we believe it is healed for you. Amen? For you, her son, Pastor Tim. But if it's not dealt with, it can literally be passed on to your children and your children's children. So now I'm using real illustrations in life, and I happen to have a family here who's gone through that. But there's others. Some of you have been through things. You say, like what? I don't know. What have you been through? What is some of the trauma? What are some of the places of deep disappointment? What are some of the places that perhaps you went through? Now, if it doesn't sting, it doesn't hurt, and you see no stronghold there, then move on and rejoice. But if you do see something, tear it down. How? By prayer, through support, through confessing it, through answering altar calls, through renewing your mind, and being aware of the triggers. I got triggered recently. For various reasons, I will not tell you what that is. And it was crazy what happened. I instantly found myself in front of a plate of sweets without even knowing it. Now, I did not know, I'm the one that got them, but my head was somewhere else. And Pastor Karen says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know." And I realized, oh, I got up and just walked around. I was like, oh, God. You know what it was? It was an addictive pattern. Now, I've been saved for a long time. I've been walking in freedom and purity and sobriety and holiness a long time. So for me to get hit like that and watch that happen, I thought, how many other people that are under the sound teaching of the Word of God here at King's are going through places where you can't believe because you have trauma locked up in your spirit and in your mind, and you can't believe the Word. You can't believe it. So when an angel comes, you'd mouth off. I'm saying it's remotely possible that you do have something. What do I do with that? You've got to get set free. You should see what I'm looking at. You guys, your eyes are bugging right out of your head. People leaning forward like, what? Yeah, that could be the very thing, the very reason that you can't commit, the very reason that you can't move forward, that you can't progress in leadership, the very reason you can't walk in the fullness of all that God has is because inside you is this stronghold, this mindset impregnated with hopelessness that came from some event of trauma and pain. What do you do? Get healed. You get healed. How? We have these encounters. I have so many scriptures. Oh, man. I hear the bell ring, though. I'm going to come back and hit this a few more times in different services. It's windy and snowing, and look at you. You people are rough. You'd be like, we're Alaskan. The abominable snowman is out there, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to church. I love that spirit. I love that, like, doesn't matter. I got four-wheel drive and studded tires, baby. I can go. We'll charge hell with my truck. I have many, many illustrations and scriptures I could give you. Can I have keys, please? Let me briefly tell you, and this comes from our encounters, how to get free. Because, I mean, it's one thing to, so I think you've had it exposed now. Now, I don't know what it is for you. You have to ask, where is it that you're stuck? What part of your life is not lined up with the word, and why is that? When something happens with your wife, with your spouse, and you just, fangs come out, and you just blow your top, all they did was wear their shoes inside the house with a little bit of snow, and you come with a tomahawk. Where did that come from?
I've been telling you for years. Ah!
And your wife's like, oh my God, I bind it now. You're like, manifest a devil. I've seen people just lose their ever-loving minds. I thought you were a Christian. I've seen people get so triggered. I mean, serving God for 40 years, 30 years, 40 years, filled with the Spirit, Christ-like, tithing, praying, serving, know the word, get out of a situation, dropping F-bombs left and right. They haven't cursed in 10 years. What the benefit? I'm like, whoa! I think you got triggered. Yeah, they did. And it's a place that's unhealed. And when that happens to you, take a look at what just happened. What just happened? For me, I understood clearly what happened. I went past your Karen and I confessed difficulty. I wept. I was so grieved. I'm thinking, how is it that I've walked in the Lord for so many years that this would then come up? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, that trauma you went through is very deep. And I did heal you. But the enemy used that to defile. He used it to bring doubt. He used it to bring doubt upon me. I mean, I'm standing here to tell you that he lost. Because what happened for me is I had Pastor Karen pray, and that was good. But it was so intense for me, I thought, oh, I'm pulling out the big guns. I called Dr. Morocco, and I told him what had happened. He prayed for me. By the way, I didn't eat all the sweets. I ate some later, but I didn't eat them all right then while Pastor Karen was looking. I didn't binge out on sweets. I stopped it. I didn't do it after that either. I enjoyed some, but I didn't go crazy. And I realized that the enemy was trying to set in place unbelief to torment me. And when I got healed, when Pastor Karen prayed for me and Dr. Morocco prayed, God released an incredible visitation. And he did it. He did it just to show me. Just to show me, oh no, you've heard from God. It's God. It's me, son. It's me. An overwhelming visitation. I think an angel, actually. It's too close and too detailed for me to share you. You don't ever share stuff right away. 10 years from now, I'll tell you the details. You're first still here. I've shared that to say, what is it in you? What is it in you that is a broken place, a stronghold? You can look for where there's trauma and just get prayer. Two ways to be healed right from the encounters. One, Strengthening your present day thinking, Romans 12:2. Turn there, put it on the screen. Take your time. I know we're just throwing scriptures at our media people, so appreciate you. Y'all do a great job. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. So one way to overcome a stronghold is to renew your mind. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Metamorpho, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Man, the New Living Translation comes through sometimes amazingly, like right there. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Lift it up. So the first way to get healed is know what God's will is and change your stinking thinking. Change the way you think. Force yourself to refuse to think the old way. The old way is not the God way. Start to think the God way. And that's a process. You can regroove your neural paths, they say. Now, we know that from scripture, but now they're discovering scientifically that to neurons, there's neural paths. So if you respond the same way, I took a Carrie Conceal class, and I remember taking the class, and I haven't practiced much, but you have it on your side to draw. There's this drawing mechanism, and they have you practice. They have you practice over and over and over and over and over. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Why? Because it creates a neural path that the moment there's something you can draw and you're ready. Your finger's not on the trigger, you're ready. You've done it right, so you don't shoot yourself. And there's a way to put it back so you don't shoot. Most people shoot themselves when they reholster. That's a big place they get shot. It creates a neural path. And I would practice in the morning. I haven't not been doing it. Maybe I'll get back to it. I would practice in the morning. I would holster, and I would sit there, and I'd be, bam, bam. And it creates a neural path so much so that I don't really have to think about it when I'm doing it right now. I might not have it down perfect, but the point is you change the way you think and changing habits. I'm learning Spanish. I got to get today in. It's like day 39. Duolingo. I'm on a 39-day streak. Habla español. Poquito. So I'm learning Spanish. Slowly, there's a pattern. I get in the Word in the morning. In the morning, my son gets in the Word. We get in the Word in the morning. So the alarms go off for morning prayer. And soon thereafter, I hear, then the Lord. And it's Junior with his Bible. His audio, yeah, and that's what happens to me. I get in, boom, I press it. I'm listening to the Word. I go down, I make coffee. Pastor Karen, same thing. We all listen to the Word in the morning, all of us. That's a habit we have. Some of you have to change your thinking. We all have to change our thinking. You have to regroove the way that you think. Come on, say I'm blessed. Look at yourself in the mirror when you get home and then tomorrow morning and said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God's for me. Who can be against me? I'm an overcomer. Come on, learn to speak life over yourself and change your stinking thinking. Some of you do not think the way that you're supposed to. The Lord spoke to me and said this, son, you can't afford to have thoughts in your head that I don't have towards you. There's a stronghold. So the number one how to break strongholds, one way, is to strengthening your thinking. The second way is to invite Jesus into the hurtful memories of your past and to ask him to heal you by forgiving those who perpetrated you, those who victimized you by forgiving yourself for what you've done perhaps to other people. And by inviting him in to heal you. I got free, wholesale free. I had other things that lingered and even, you know, recently triggered. I got wholesale free in Teen Challenge. I stumbled upon some book, Stomping Out the Darkness, the high school version, which was a humbling thing because I was not in high school. And it talked about your identity in Christ and how you really had to know who you are. So I worked on that and I got to the next section. And it talked about writing down every hurtful memory and every hurtful thing and all of your sin and everything you ever done. And I made a list. I filled half a legal pad full of sin and hurtful things that happened to me from my earliest memory. One after next, after the next, after the next, after the next. Went through all of that. At the end, it was exhausting when I wrote it all down. And the next step was to read through those and work through every one of them with Jesus. I worked through them one after the next. It took a whole day, a whole day. And at the end, I set it on fire. And I have never been the same since. Some of you have not dealt with your sin, with your pain, with your disappointment like that. Somebody said, Pastor Daniel, how'd you get so on fire like that? That's how, like that. I've been washed, I've been cleansed, I've been renewed. The power of God has touched me, he's changed me, and I'm being changed from glory to glory along with so many others. I'm contending, I'm believing, I'm surprised, I got triggered, but you know what? I don't care. Oh, how embarrassing, you're serving God for 30 years, you've been triggered. But you're serving God for 30 years and you're still sitting there like a bump on a log. I can't believe it. I thought you were a Christian. You can be set free from your trauma, from your disappointment. And listen, you are what you believe. So you can say you believe this, but if you act this way, that is really what you believe. I don't care what you say. You say you are. What the way that you live is who you are. That is what you believe. You cannot separate that.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.